Loud Nation.
You're invited to take your seat.
Take a seat.
At the Warriors Roundtable.
It's a three. In and out. Rebound. Peyton. Out to Curry. Let's it fly. Three ball. Left corner pocket.
Welcome to the table. The exclusive home of your Golden State Warriors. 95-7 the game.
Curry fires away. Three ball. Above the break.
Here's Kevin Dana.
Right there.
And Gary St. Jean.
What up, ladies and gentlemen? Good evening. We welcome you to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Dana rocking with Gary St. Jean, Mark Grandy behind the glass. I just want to say that this hotel is better than 5 stars. So shouts out to the Warriors for booking this hotel for the travel party, because this place is incredible. But anyways, I'll be here with the Warriors on this road trip. Big games in Houston and Dallas tomorrow and Friday night. Let's talk first about the win over Dallas. Talk about the Warriors winning 5 in a row, Western Conference outlook. We'll get to all that. Let's start with Tuesday's win over the Mavs, 104-100. A lot of things we are going to get into with respect to this game, Saint. But let's start with the bench, because the bench came through in a big way, helping to offset cold shooting nights from Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson. And bench points, I think, did kind of say one of the big stories of that game, Saint. 39-13 in favor of Golden State in a 4-point win.
Well, you can certainly take the debate night in and night out that this bench is one of the best in the entire NBA. And you've got different guys stepping up. GP2, I think, has really got a little giddy up in his step. And, you know, he scores on lobs and offensive rebounds and drives. And it's kind of unconventional for a guard-like kind of guy. And then you got Moody just filling in again with a key guy out in Kuminga. And he gets minutes. And this guy, you just respect what he's doing. He's ready whenever he's called upon. He doesn't complain. He just does his job. And that's why I think he's going to have a bright future. And he's very level-headed and professional. And I think a future's bright for him. Chris Paul kind of running things from back there. And, you know, you got Kevon Looney, who just, he just Mr. Consistency. And Porzingis, Podzinski. You know, I don't know. I've seen a rookie guard rebound better than this, Kev. It's just really a guy who's willing to get dirty. He gets in that paint and gets knocked around and comes up with the ball.
Yeah, willing to get dirty. I think that's kind of the apt phrase there for Brandon Podziemski. But it was the end of the third quarter that was a pivotal point. It was pointed out in the game recap I read by Sam Gordon of the San Francisco Chronicle. Golden State's down three. Steph Curry checks out end of the third quarter, you know, 2-3 minutes ago, whatever it was. And Golden State had a unit of Trayce Jackson-Davis, who was starting that game in place of the injured Jonathan Kuminga, Chris Paul, Moses Moody, Brandon Podziemski, and Gary Payton II. They end the quarter on a 9-0 run to give Golden State a 6-point lead. And, you know, throughout the last 15 years, how many times have we talked about the non-Curry minutes? So those non-Curry minutes this year feel a lot more fortified this year with the depth that Golden State has on its bench.
Kev, I'm going to share with you that as a coaching staff, as a head coach, you get really excited when non-starters have great nights and as a unit have a great night. And then your teammates, they just have the utmost respect for you, because you're just willing to compete and defend and do the little things that are create opportunities for each other. And, you know, this team, we're going to talk a lot about the defense here over the last 5 games. But what does that get us to? It gets you out in transition where you have the last decade of Golden State Warrior basketball where they get early offense and great looks. And that's the gift of playing good D and controlling your defensive board. And nobody epitomizes this more than the second group.
Yeah, no, this second group has been fantastic. I do want to touch a little bit on a couple of guys in particular. You discussed Moses Moody a little bit. Well, he had a bit of a funk when he was out of the lineup, then when he'd get in for spot minutes. He was in a bit of a shooting slump, but his last 4 games, 10 plus points in all four. Over his last eight, he's 14-26 from three. And right now, and look, he can certainly turn into more for sure. He could be a starter at one point in his NBA career, a regular starter. I don't think that's off the table for Moses. But right now, he's the perfect eighth to ninth man to have. Just produces when his number is called, doesn't complain about his role. And whenever he gets extended run, he really performs well.
Yeah, you know, and then we're fans of his. You and I have been chatting about him all year long. We just think he's got a bright future, and he's plays like a veteran, yet he's still young. He understands the game. He's not in a rush. He knows where shots are. He knows team defense very well. I just really like him as a player.
You're listening to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game, reminding you that the Warriors 2023-24 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. Hit us up 888-957-9570, taking your calls from now till 7 p.m. Also want to touch on Gary Payton II a little bit, because obviously he has dealt with a lot of injury issues this year that keep him out for a couple of weeks, so a month at a time. And it really looks like right now he has his bounce back. Bob Fitzgerald and Glenn Azubuike, they always say on the TV broadcast, where can you find GP2? Around the basket. And especially lately, he's been a really good rim finisher, and obviously his perimeter defense has been very solid as well.
Well, look around the league, Kevin. Tell me a 6'3 guard who they play in the dunker position. Now, I'm going to define that. You have a high pick action. So there's five players on the floor. You spot up the other two out of the three guys, and one guy is always down low, and he's usually weak side about 12 feet on the baseline. And invariably, he's down there. That's a spot normally for a 7-footer or a 6'10 guy, so that if your man leaves you, and this is where Draymond is phenomenal with pick and roll stuff, he gets the ball at the free throw line, and then instead of trying to attack the rim, he reads that defender who's playing the guy in a dunker spot, who comes over to pick him up, and up it goes. And we've seen Kuminga there, but I love when Peyton's there. I just think it's tremendous. We don't have many guys in the league can do it, and nobody competes any harder than him. I just have huge respect for him. Great attitude too.
The little big man. GP2, man, he's been great. Let's talk about the defense. You teased it a little bit earlier. This game was tied at 92 against Dallas with 4 minutes and 32 seconds left. Dallas didn't score for the next 3.5 minutes. And over this five-game win streak, Golden State is second in the NBA in defensive rating. They're giving up 102.9 points per 100 possessions. Only the Miami Heat is better at 99.8. And Dallas came into that game, Saint, averaging 118 points per game. And they scored just 100. And it's the fourth time in the last five games that they've held a team to 100 points or fewer.
It's an amazing achievement. And you give credit to these guys for focusing and playing hard and playing together. And a little thing, with Davis starting, it allows Draymond to move over to the four spot. He then has more liberty to get involved in weak side action and rotations and switching, big down, small out, and those kind of concepts. And I just don't know that he's been much better than this span, than the last couple weeks here, than the last few years. I just love the way he's playing. He's taking it upon himself to lead the group. They've responded. You've got different kinds of guys. When you've got Clay and Steph, they are so smart. They are in the right position defensively. They know when to go for a steal or get a deflection. And Looney's a tremendous defender. And you look up and down, and these young guys have bought in, and they're learning what it's all about. And it's great to watch, and we've said this before. I just think it's a huge key. If they defend, then you don't want to play the Warriors, because they worry you. Yeah. One early offense with Clay or Steph coming down, launching threes, and even the half-court game when they point forward with Draymond and create other shots for these guys. It's a unique, different system. Nobody moves the ball and moves people better than the Warriors. And it's a great accomplishment. And they're going down there to Houston. They're going to try to put their lights out. As far as trying to catch them,
yeah,
and then play Dallas again, And, you know, I before the other night, I just had Dallas penciled in for six. I thought the Pelicans would stay in five, but now I don't know. You know, I look at the Kings, they're really banged up, and the Suns have the worst schedule to play in the entire league. So this the Warriors can move up here if they keep playing like this.
Yeah, they really can. We're going to break down the Western Conference in a little bit, but it almost seems like the Suns do better when they're playing better teams. Like, they've lost three times the San Antonio Spurs and then have won twice at Denver. We'll get into those machinations a little bit later on. And after the break, I do want to talk about the big game from Andrew Wiggins last night. We'll move on to the win over San Antonio. We'll take a look at that road trip at large and delve into the Western Conference playoff race. But right now, Dub Nation, do you want a chance to win the ultimate Warriors game night? Visit warriors.com/Modelo and enter now. Must be 21 and over to enter. No purchase necessary. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the win over the Mavs. Take a look at that win over San Antonio, a closer than expected win on Easter Sunday, and that 4-1 road trip at large right here on 95.7 The Game.
Each and every member of Dub Nation has a seat at this table.
If everybody would please take your seats.
The Warriors Roundtable has returned on 95.7 The Game.
Knocked it down straight on for about 28 feet.
Now back to Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean.
The WNBA Golden State team will begin playing the 2025 WNBA season at Chase Center. Get first access to season tickets for this historic season. Place a deposit at warriors.com/WNBA today. Tough to see my Stanford Cardinal go out in the Sweet 16. They had a good run. Looking forward to seeing Cameron Brink get picked in the top three, probably number two in the WNBA draft this year. Of course, there was a great Elite Eight game between LSU and Iowa and UConn and USC. Also a really good game. So a lot of great women's basketball, not only coming this weekend, but coming to the Bay Area next spring. We are, let me do the math in my head, count on my toes and fingers. I think it's 13 months from now, so looking forward to that. But let's get back to the win over Dallas last night. As you're listening to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game, hit us up. 888-957-9570 if you want to talk Warriors shooty hoop with the Saint and myself, because I want to talk about Andrew Wiggins, 23 points last night. We're going to first hear from Steve Kerr on Wiggins playing really good two-way basketball, and then Saint, I want to get your thoughts. So here's what Steve Kerr had to say about Wiggins after the win over the Mavs last night.
Wiggs has been playing really well, good two-way basketball now for a while. He had an off night in San Antonio the other night, but overall, you know, he's been aggressive offensively. He's getting downhill, and he's defending at a high level. I just think he's in a really good rhythm. He's feeling good, you know, physically, and playing at a high level. He was definitely, you know, connecting the game tonight, you know, in terms of the defense on Doncic and just overall energy, leading to some really good offensive possessions as well.
Kev, I couldn't agree more with Steve Kerr. He is a terrific two-way player. And when he's aggressive like this on the offensive end, he's really playing within the flow. And when you've got a couple of guys that can put the ball on the floor and attack in the half-court game, it opens things up for your perimeter shooters. Keep in mind, he really is a good transition player. And you might say, gee, yay, what are you guys, crazy? I mean, Luka had a triple-double. Well, he did a good job, I thought, keeping it in front of him. And, you know, he scored himself, and he did a good job containing him. There's not many nights that he's going below his average. We're talking about one of the three guys that are in the tops for MVP. He's just had a fantastic year. And I can't think of a better guy to match up with Luka than Wiggs.
Yeah, I mean, he did make him work for that 30-point triple-double. Luka turned it over five times, and he wasn't guarding him the whole night. Moses took some turns. GP2 took some turns. Like, he wasn't the only guy who Luka saw in front of him, but he had one really nice possession that Anthony Slater highlighted in his article on The Athletic, where he blocked Luka's shot on a left baseline kind of mid-range jumper. So, look, Wiggins, we saw it in the 2022 Western Conference Finals. What what he can do defensively against Luka Doncic. Luka's going to get his 30. He's going to get triple doubles. That's what he's going to do. But if you can make him a little more inefficient, and last night, 5 turnovers for Luka Doncic. He still shot it well, but made it difficult on him. Really, that's all you can ask for.
Well, at the end of the day, when you're playing against a player like that, that's exactly at the end of the day what you're trying to set a goal for. That guy is so special. He's got the whole bag. He's just tremendous, and he's lost 25 pounds. He's playing better than ever. Kev, he hasn't had a tee in about 6-8 weeks, and I just think he's at peace with himself.
It's a great stretch for him.
Yeah, for him. And you know, Kyrie's playing as good as he's played since Cleveland. They made a great move, drafting Lively and then trading for Washington and Gafford. They're a different team. You know, Jones is a good defender. They hadn't had him before. They're doing this without Green, who had a great game, a great year for them last year. I like them. They're playing as good as they've ever played. And so that'll be a tough one after taking care of Houston tomorrow night.
Yeah, no, it really, really will. And one last thing I want to talk about this game. We mentioned it. Steph and Clay weren't shooting well. They were a combined 10 of 32 from the field. And so this was a significant win in that aspect, kind of showing off the depth of this team. And I think it's important for this team to reach 45 wins, just so that there's like a benchmark that you could see that this year's team is better than last year's team, which I fully believe. And look, last year's team did get all the way to Game 6 of the Western Conference semifinals. I'm not saying they're going to reach those heights this year just because the West is so much deeper. But on paper, this year's team is better. They are playing better right now. And I think 45... Look, and that would take they would have to go 4-3 the rest of the way. Obviously, they want to do better than that. Obviously, they're trying to get to 48-34. That might not be super likely, but look, I think 45, 46 certainly on the table. And I think that is an important benchmark for this season to say, look, it might not be a lot of improvement in the win column, but it's better than the 44-38 last year. Even if Golden State drops 3 or 4 spots in the standings as opposed to the 6 that they finished last year in the West.
Yeah, I don't think there's much debate about that. I don't know if the record is going to get there, but they're playing really quality basketball right now. You and I, last week, we're looking for, 3-2 or whatever on the road trip, 4-1, and they exceeded by playing just terrific. And they've got everybody's eyes open and ears plugged in the way they're playing. And you said it. This play-in thing is going to be terrific to watch. And I just think with this veteran, smart, physical team, I think they're going to be ready for the challenge. But we've got a great couple of weeks here with a lot of jockeying going on. The West has never been deeper or better.
Yeah, well, let's get into that jockeying right now, and then we'll work our way back to San Antonio and the road trip overall. But right now, going into tomorrow's game against the Houston Rockets in Texas, they're currently 3 up on Houston, and they have the tiebreaker. So if they win that game, they're up 4 with 6 to go, and essentially Houston would need to make up 5 games. Right now, the Warriors have a magic number of 4 to clinch the 10 seed. That's combined Rockets wins, Rockets losses and Warriors wins. They're also just a game and a half back of the Lakers for 9th, and even though they're 1.5 back of the Lakers for 9th, they're only 1 back in the loss column. They're 2-1 against the Lakers, and they play them one more time. So they control their own destiny to at least get to 9th, which I think is a huge, huge thing to get. Look, I know they've been better on the road this year than at home. I know they have won in Crypto.com Arena, though there should be an asterisk by that with respect to Anthony Davis not playing the second half of that game. A tiny asterisk, but an asterisk nonetheless. I would still much, much rather play at Chase Center in the 9-10 game instead of having to play 2 games on the road just to get into the postseason.
Totally agree with you. The Lakers, I didn't realize, it's not often you get a trip back east in April, and they're in finishing up a trip where they've done terrific. I think, you know, Washington, they've got some games they're going to finish this thing up in terrific fashion, and they're playing well. They're doing a really terrific. LeBron has been amazing. But I'm with you. I would much rather play at home. And that game when they play them will be huge. We're going to see other games like that where teams match up. For example, later next week, Phoenix comes up to play Sacramento. And right now, they're penciled in to play each other. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And I, Kev, I really think they can climb because Sacramento, with they took care of business the other night. But with Monk and Herter out, boy, they're vulnerable. You know, Lyles and Mitchell made threes. Otherwise, they would have gotten beat. And then I look at Sacramento. Yeah. When I look at Phoenix, their schedule is brutal. They've got a four-game homestand now. They've got to win three out of the four. Their last three games are on the road. So one of those teams could come down. And with that said, the Warriors could maybe even move up to eight. So who knows? It's going to be fun to watch.
Okay, so I want to follow up with you on that. You think the Warriors could get to eighth? Because eighth is a lot better than ninth, because that means you get two cracks at getting into the playoffs. And right now, they're three back of Phoenix and Sacramento for seventh and eighth. Again, at 41 and 34, they have seven games remaining. But they essentially need to make up four games against one of those two teams, not to mention past the Lakers. So you do think that eighth is not quite out of reach?
Well, I say that because those two teams are vulnerable. One of them could fall down. They could go below 500 the rest of the way. And if the Warriors keep playing at a great clip, you know, winning 80% of their games, I think they'd have a chance to be right there. So, yeah, I didn't feel like this a couple of weeks ago. I thought they were going to, you know, play for 9 and play 10, but don't put it out of the reach yet. I think it's possible.
All right, let's take a look up the Western Conference standings a little bit, and I want to talk a little bit about another team that's sliding. Look, they're not going to slide all the way down to Golden State, but the LA Clippers, after having just an incredible two-month stretch, I'd say they went 26-5 in a 31-game stretch. They have really kind of fallen off pace. They have the third worst defense over the last five games, a two-game lead over Dallas and the Pelicans for fourth. I mean, do you see either of those teams catching the Clippers and getting home court in the first round?
Well, Dallas can do it. You know, the Pelicans, not having Ingram is big. But I do give them all the credit in the world. And they, what they've done lately is Valanciunas hasn't played as much. And they're going to five out. Actually, Willie Green is playing more Warrior style, where he's playing Nance at the five. And he's had great success with this. McCallum has played well. And obviously, Williamson has lost a lot of weight like Doncic. And he's now playing at a great level. You know, so those guys can win. The both of those guys. And you talk about the Clippers. You know, they're older. George missed some time. Now Leonard, they've got a back-to-back coming up with Phoenix. I won't be surprised, say, if Leonard sits the second night because he's got some tendonitis. So we'll see how they go along here playing, guys. Westbrook is back. You know, they've lost their mojo. They just haven't played as well, and I guess the worst thing to say is people around the league are saying they're soft, that they're just and that's a big dilemma with defense, that they don't want to compete and get up in people and challenge them, and that's hard to turn off like a faucet on and off. They got to get it going, so they're vulnerable.
Yeah, no, they certainly are to potentially dropping from the four spot. We have an all-time battle going for the number one seed right now. And Saint, you've been around the league a lot longer than I have, but I don't remember the last time we've had three teams within a half game of first with seven games remaining. Denver's at 53-23. Oklahoma City and Minnesota are at 52-23. Who do you think gets the one seed, Saint?
Well, I thought it was going to be Denver, but boy, I keep saying that Minnesota can't do this without Towns, and he's supposedly coming back here before we finish the regular season. But you know what? They're just You look at their team. Gobert's comfortable. Edwards is comfortable. Conley's the leader. You know, I look at Reed. He signed a new deal, and he's filling in for Towns, doing a great job. Slow-mo Anderson is doing a great job for them, and they just fit. You know, you're putting a puzzle together, and it all just fits well. And they're obviously a terrific defensive team, and Anderson's a you know, smart vet guy who's happy now, and Edwards is just a tremendous player. And I keep thinking, you know, that OKC's, you know, maybe going to slide a little bit. They're I don't know that they're really attacking the one spot. I think they want to just be real healthy. For example, they're playing the Celtics tonight, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Williams aren't playing, and the Celtics will probably win the game here. They're leading, so they're being smart. They want to be healthy going into the thing. Everybody thinks two things concern that team. One, their defensive rebounding because of their strength and size, and secondly, their playoff experience. But, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you got to have him in your top four in the MVP race. He's right in there. That guy there, he is so special. He cuts like Kobe used to. You think he's going to rip his sneakers. He stops on a dime. He just plays at his pace, and there's not a lot of theatrics. That guy's a tremendous young player.
Yeah, he was second in the latest straw poll MVP voting that Tim Bonteps does for ESPN behind Nikola Jokic. I believe Luka was third, if I remember off the top of my head. But Shai has been incredible this year. From a Golden State perspective, I think the Warriors would like their chances against. And by like their chances, I don't mean they're going to go out and defeat the Thunder in five or defeat the Timberwolves in five. Obviously, they've been swept by Minnesota this year, but they showed in that last game that they played in Minnesota that they can hang with them. And I think Minnesota hit 21 threes in that game. If Minnesota's just a little bit colder from downtown, that they can hang with them for sure in the playoff series. Denver is the one team that has that quote unquote championship DNA now that they have won the title last year. Denver's the one team that's certainly not going to be worried about the Golden State Warriors. And for Golden State, I think you would hope that since it looks like Golden State's path into the playoffs is going to be through being the number 8 seed, that you'd much rather face an unproven team in the postseason in the first round than getting Denver right off the bat.
Nah, you're right on. You'd want to play Minnesota or OKC and stay the heck away from that Mile High team. You don't want to play them. That team there, man, they are really, really good. You know, Michael Malone's done a great job, old Warrior assistant coach, and, you know, Jokic is just absolutely amazing to watch. He never ceases to amaze me, and they got some terrific players around them. Murray's got to get healthy, though. That knee is some concern, but they keep on doing a solid job, and you know, they're so big with Porter and Gordon. And I think Caldwell Pope should be on the all-defensive team this year. I think he's been tremendous. Everyone was concerned about their bench. It's not as good as last year, but they've gotten by. You know, in the playoffs, we tend to see guys play more minutes, and those guys will be stepping up and playing a little bit more. And, you know, they're the defending champ. I'm going to give them the ultimate respect.
Saint, to your proposition about KCP should make the all-defensive team, which I agree, how many players have you seen guard Steph better this year than Kentavious Caldwell-Pope?
Well, right now I'm watching the Celtics and OKC as we speak, and, you know, I love Holiday. And I'm going to put Pope in that category, and that's high praise.
Okay.
He just he locks in. He gets over the top of screens. He's just engaged. He doesn't lose guys, you know, taking a play off. He knows strengths and weaknesses. He's a two-time champion. He knows what it's about. And it's a guy like that I was had the pleasure to be around years and years ago, Sidney Moncrief, who won the two first Defensive Player of the Year awards in the early 80s when they established the award. You know, you'd think it's be some big shot-blocking guy, you know, in the paint, like a Gobert or somebody like that. But, you know, Sidney, was about 6'4", and he would guard anybody on the floor, and like Caldwell Pope, just has the respect of all the players in the league.
Yeah, no, it's been fun watching KCP on that team this year, and the Nuggets, hopefully for Golden State's sake, finish second or third. But let's get back to how well Golden State has been playing as of late. They've won five straight. They finished up the road trip 4-1. They won in San Antonio the last game of that five-game roadie that was supposed to be a seven-game road trip before the schedule switch up with the passing of Deki. But look, Steph and Dre led the way in that game, and Draymond in particular. Look, Steph 33-8, a great game, 7-15 from downtown. But what a masterclass performance Draymond put in that game. 21 points, 6 rebounds, 11 assists, and 6 steals. He had a 6-by-4, and he had the biggest offensive rebound of the game, boxing out Victor Wembanyama to get himself to the line and hit the free throw to make it a two-possession game in the final moments.
Arguably his best game since 2022 when they won the championship. The way he came out in the third period, he just put the team on his back. Every play was like a doctoral class, just masterful. And every play, whether on ball, off the ball, getting a big rebound, making a key pass, and then you had Steph making shots. And, you know, it wasn't a perfect night. You got to give San Antonio credit with Wemby, the way he's played. I mean, his statistics have been phenomenal, and they've got a lot of guys out, but they compete every single night. And you know, road wins are tough, and they did a great job. Just a lot of praise for Steph and for Draymond.
Yeah, Draymond's basketball IQ, I mean, it always shines, but it especially shone in that game, because in the first half, he was trying to pass when he was getting to the hoop, and Wemby was reading it pretty well. I mean, he had 4 steals, 7 stocks, 4 steals, 3 blocks. Great defensive performance. Then the adjustment that Draymond made was he just attacked the rim, and he realized that his passes when he was getting in that deep or when he was trying to, you know, fool Wembanyama, it wasn't quite working out. And so he just attacked Wembanyama, and he had a lot more success in that second half offensively, looking for his own scoring.
The game slowed down for him. He read what was in front of him and made absolutely perfect decisions. When a guy's playing like that, it makes the game a lot easier for everybody else. And if you really are a student of the game, that was easy to see watching that game. And boy, his teammates had high praise for him.
Yeah. Oh, man, as they should after a performance like that. And he hit both of his three-point attempts in that game. I know he'd been in a bit of a funk from beyond the arc recently, but he's still 39% from three on the season. And you touched on Wembanyama, but I think it bears repeating. Look, the Spurs did not have Keldon Johnson, Devin Vassell, and Jeremy Sochan in that game. So three of their top four players are not available. Wemby starting with some guys who are fringe rotation players in the NBA, guys who might not be getting this much playing time on better teams, and he still almost led them to a win. 32 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks. He put up another monster stat line last night. He only shot 9 of 29, but 23-15-8 with 9 blocks. I mean, look, I know the Spurs have largely not been competitive this year, but how quickly can they be a play-in contender with just how much Wembanyama has grown within his rookie season?
Well, you know, with Pop there, guys really grow and get better. They have a phenomenal. It's kind of like Miami. You know, there's a culture there that it's almost like being in the Marines. And, you know, Pop went to the Air Force Academy. So there's a lot of structure and discipline, and you put your time in, and it pays off for you.
Yeah.
Now, free agency, you know, I don't think it's a banner year for players. And, Kev, you're on top of this better than me, but they're not talking very highly about this draft.
No.
But with that said, you know, that you do your homework, and it's an inexact science in that some guys you may really like that I don't like, and you take your guy and he's terrific. So it's really interesting as to how it goes. But to build right now is not real easy. You know, I look at them, San Antonio, I look at Detroit, I look at Washington, and, you know, there's not a lot of easy answers for them.
Yeah. I mean, you're right about this draft not being – well, nothing's really going to compare, I think, to last year's draft class within recent memory. Yeah. Obviously, 2003 draft class was great with LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, and so on. But within recent memory, I mean, obviously, this is the draft class after Victor Wembanyama. And Scoot Henderson, who has struggled at times this year, I think he is going to be pretty, pretty good in the future. Brandon Miller's been had a really nice rookie season. And so off the top of your head, you don't look at any of the guys at the top of the draft and say, hey, these are franchise changers like a Victor Wembanyama. But there's still plenty of quality guys you can plug and play next year. I can only speak for the international kids that I've seen, the Zachary Risacheys, the Tijon Salons, Melvin Ajansa, Nikola Topic guys. I haven't delved too deeply into the college guys yet. I'll get there. But look, there are some pieces that I think that could fit with the Spurs, specifically a Nikola Topic with his point guard skills, someone that they might target in that draft. But we got to take a break. Before we do, folks, we want to let you know that Janet Jackson is coming to Chase Center. Don't miss her 2024 Together Again tour on June 12th with special guest Nelly. Tickets available now at ChaseCenter.com. When we come back, we're talking about the two big games in Texas coming up. Houston tomorrow night, Dallas on Friday. Right on the other side of this break, right here on 95.7 The Game.
If you've just joined us, don't worry. We saved your seat.
Sit down.
Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down.
At the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Curry behind the back. Wade stops it. Pops on the way. Ridiculous three on the white sideline.
Now, here's Kevin Dana and Gary St. Jean.
Welcome back to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Hit us up 888-957-9570. Speaking to you for the next 11 minutes or 660 seconds, however you want to split it. Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. The Warriors are in Houston tomorrow. I'll have the call for you starting at 4:30 p.m. Pacific Airtime, 5 p.m. tip time here on 95.7 The Game. Then the Dubs will be in Dallas to take on the Horsies, 5 p.m. Airtime, 5:30 tip time. I'll be on the call again on 95.7. Then Tim Roy, Tom Tolbert will have you back Sunday against the Utah Jazz at Chase Center, 5 p.m. airtime, 5:30 tip time. That is Fan Night presented by Adobe. Then the Warriors are back on the road Tuesday, April 9th against the L.A. Lakers, a big one for 9-seed positioning, 6:30 on the air with Tim Roy, 7 p.m. tip time. Then they're in Portland on Thursday, April 11th, 6:30 airtime, 7 p.m. tip time. All right here on 95.7 The Game. So let's talk about these upcoming games in Texas, the Texas two-step for Golden State as they try to A, first put Houston in the rear view, and then B, next, try to creep closer to the Lakers, to the Suns, and to the Sacramento Kings when they take on the Dallas Mavericks. But first things first, with the Houston game, they're going to get Jonathan Kuminga back, thankfully. Now, they went 4-0 without him in the lineup with his knee tendonitis, but they certainly missed his 16 points per game, and I don't know about you, Saint, but I'm really looking forward to seeing Jonathan rejoin the fray.
Oh, sure. That young guy's having a terrific season. You watch him grow each week and month, and he's getting better and better. And, you know, for this team to make some music here in the playoff run, and when we get to the playoffs, you know, he's been your second leading scorer. And, you know, Clay's really reemerged and played terrific too, but you need him healthy. And you and I have talked all season long about the importance of, you know, he and Wiggins. And, I'm excited to see him come back.
So in his place in the starting lineup has been Trace Jackson Davis, who we touched on a little bit earlier. But in the four games, 9.3 points, 9.8 rebounds, a 62% shooting, 28 minutes per game for Trace Jackson Davis. And look, when he's paired with Draymond Green, Kurt, you discussed this a little bit earlier, Sade. Kurt saying that it allows Draymond to roam on defense, and we know how good of a roving defender Draymond is. But when he and Draymond are on the floor together, Golden State has a defensive rating of 99.7, which would by far lead the NBA.
Well, he's just done a tremendous job. You know, I won't be surprised if, I don't know, if they name a second team, all-rookie team. But my gosh, he's done a terrific job. I just love the way he plays as a big. He protects the rim. He's got good timing rebounding the basketball. He sets good screens. He's a good pick-and-roll player. I like his, there's not much emotion. He just plays the game, and I think he's earned everybody's respect. And he's a heck of a nice piece, I'll tell you.
Let's take a look at Houston's side of this equation, because up until Sunday, they had been the hottest team in the NBA. They had won 11 in a row to go from being 12th in the West, and you know, I think some people thought they might pack it in. They were 25-34 at one point. Just, all right, well, we've already done better than last year. Let's build for the future. Alperen Şengün goes out, who's their leading scorer, one of their top rebounders, incredible playmaker, and they just reel off an 11-game win streak. Now, I think Şengün was there for one or two of those wins, but they just did not lose any steam for a while. Now, they've recently lost to Dallas. They got blitzed by Dallas. Luka, 32 in the first half, 47 in that game. One of the best trick shots I think we've seen all year, with his little underhand scoop from just inside the three-point line. And then a close loss to Minnesota last night. So they're really battling. Look, they could have waved the white flag last night, too. They're down 15 in the fourth quarter, came back to make that a one-possession game late. But this is a Houston team that certainly have exceeded expectations this year. You knew they were going to be better than they were last year, just because they brought in some vets, and I do want to get into some of those veteran signings that they made, but I'm not sure many people expected them to be above 500 this late in the season, especially considering who else is in the Western Conference.
Yeah, credit to Ime Udoka. You know, he meets with ownership and management, interviews, and talks about the style of play that he wants to bring to Houston. And that was key in their signing of Van Fleet and Brooks. Now, Van Fleet's had a hell of a career up in Toronto. Now, Brooks, you know, a lot of guys don't like him. But he does bring you toughness. He competes. He's a good defender. So those two lead by example. And they're veteran guys. They had some young guys in Green and some of those other guys. You know, they were more concerned about the quality of their dunks and how they were playing. They weren't playing the right way, as far as I'm concerned. And Landale's done a good job. Our St. Mary's guy stepped in there and done a nice job with Şengün out. And they've had a heck of a year. You know, Green, I look at him, and Kev, I think he went to prolific prep, didn't he?
He did. He's a prolific prep kid.
Yeah. Yeah, because my good pal Travis Stanley, who was with me with the Kings and Warriors, has been involved with that program. And I've gone up there and talked to the team. And, he's a talented young guy. He's had a heck of a run. So it's all in front of him. The lights are very bright for him. So they've had a heck of a year. They've done a terrific job.
And Jalen Green, he has stepped his game up to another level. He's one of the big 17 games. He's averaging 28.6 rebounds, nearly 4 assists on 48 from the field, 39, 80% from the foul line. He's also in the 70th percentile in ISO D for the Athletic. So he's improved on that end of the floor as well. He has some pretty good numbers in pick and roll defense, or improving numbers in pick and roll defense as well. He, like Jonathan Kuminga, he's making that third year jump. And look, there were some serious question marks about how he fit with this new look Rockets team with Ime Udoka. And he was getting benched in fourth quarters at the first part of the season. But now he's become a trusted part of that rotation, and certainly for a guy who was considered to be in trade rumors just a couple of months ago, looks to be like a surefire thing of the Rockets' future.
Well, again, you bring in a coach that no nonsense. You know, Udoka was down there for a long time with Pop, and I feel him, you know, putting the touch on that team. It really is clear to me. And we mentioned those two veteran guys, and they're showing them how to practice, how to prepare, put your work in, and give him credit, you know, because he's a changed guy. And to his credit, he's played terrific, and he's got a very, very bright future.
So after Houston, they go to Dallas Friday night, and this is kind of a similar thing. This is a part of the makeup for the January 19th game that got postponed when Decky passed away. So when they made up the Utah Jazz game, they played Utah on a Monday on the road, had a game Wednesday, and then played in Utah on Thursday, back end of a back-to-back. It's a similar situation where the makeup was you play April 2nd at home, then play April 2 days later, and then play on the road again in a back-to-back. So when you play a team twice in a 3 or 4 day span, what's the recipe for success? Because a lot of times you feel like these games, when teams are more or less even, and basically at this level, two teams above 500 fighting for playoff positioning. Yes, Dallas has a better record on the season, but in the large scale of things, these things trend towards splits. How can the Warriors make sure that doesn't happen?
Well, it's a situation where at this time of the year, you know strengths and weaknesses of individual players. You know what they like to run offensively. Maybe you're going to tweak that end. Maybe on the defensive end, you're going to change up your coverage on Luka, or, you know, look at them and say, hey, you know, I'm going to double team him, whatever, because you just played him single covers the other night. So you can try some different things like that, but you know, it's a game where they know each other both really well. And if you're shooting the ball well and you defend, you're going to have a great chance to win.
Well, that will just about do it for us tonight. Before we do send it away, I do want to give a shout out to the Santa Cruz Warriors. A big win in the first round of the G League playoffs last night, getting 20 points from two-way guard Pat Spencer. Usman Garuba, also on a two-way contract with the Golden State and Santa Cruz Warriors, set a Santa Cruz franchise playoff record with 19 rebounds. They defeated the Salt Lake City Stars. That's Utah's G League team, 113-111. They now play tomorrow night against the Stockton Kings, top seed in the Western Conference. They play in the Western Conference semis. Eight teams are left. If they win that game, they'll play in the Western Conference finals at either Sioux Falls or Oklahoma City on Sunday evening. So a big best of luck to Nicholas Kerr and the Santa Cruz Warriors as they get ready to take on the Stockton Kings tomorrow night. You can catch that game on NBC Sports Bay Area Plus. So we say adios for now. Big thank you to Mark Grandy behind the glass, R.C. Davis, and Marika Kleto with the Golden State Warriors. For the saintly one, I'm Kevin Dana saying sayonara from Houston. We'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to the Warriors Roundtable.
Curry brings it through, one hand, three, up and good!
On the exclusive home of your Golden State Warriors.
That playful and nailed it!
95-7, the game.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.